www.thebridgeforward.org.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report with Al Corlin and Jeff Deist. We're going to spend the first couple of segments of the show this week chatting with Grant Williams. Why are we doing that? Purely and simply because the guy's brilliant. He is absolutely brilliant. Grant will be speaking down at the Cambridge House Investment Conference in Indian Wells. Looking forward to seeing him down there. He is going to be talking on a plethora of subjects, but I got to tell you, whatever this man has to say, you need to listen. And if you don't get his newsletter, which, by the way, is free, you need to do it, and you can get information on his newsletter simply by going to our favorite sites section and clicking on things that make you go, Jeff, why don't you start us out, bud?
Well, Grant, we were discussing offline your presentation in Palm Springs that I'm sure you might still be working on, but it sounds like you're focusing on the bond market. So maybe you could just generally give us a little preview.
Yeah, look, I'd be delighted to. Thanks, guys. It's an amazing world we live in right now. It's unlike any time in financial and economic history. We really are way, way, way beyond the boundaries of everything that we've experienced before. And the biggest problem with that is this, you know, this tremendous amount of government intervention, both from the standpoint of having these zero interest rates for multiple years, and also the heavy quantitative easing that's just spreading now. You know, Japan's just decided that they're going to try QE9 and see if that worked any better than QE1 to 8. You know, you can't make this stuff up. But the single biggest problem with this, and this is what I'm going to be focusing on, is the fact that they have corrupted all the traditional price signals that the investors for hundreds of years have used to determine risk, assess risk, and work out where to invest their money. So, you know, the risk-free rate is now zero in a world where there is more risk than any time in the 30-odd years that I've been in this business. And everything prices off that. So we have bonds trading at completely inappropriate levels. We have equities being bought simply because people are starving for yield. You know, the fundamentals of equity markets are not such that you would pile in now because they're very, very cheap. And I'm a great believer that you make your money when you buy something, not when you sell it. You buy at the right price, you know, you increase your chances of making money exponentially. It's about paying 14 times earnings and a 2% dividend yield for the S&P is not a cheap place to be, but there is no yield in bonds. So investors are being pushed into all kinds of places where in a world like we have right now with the various political and economic problems around us, they shouldn't be. They really should have a true safe haven, and that would be government bonds that provide them with a sensible yield that's above the rate of inflation, and we've seen nothing like that anywhere in the world today.
Well, but here's an interesting question, Grant. When you look at the United States and you talk about government bonds, okay, the government can't service the debt if the interest rate is really much higher than it is right now. Isn't that kind of a conundrum, to say the least?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the very, very good illustrations of what I'm talking about. You know, right now, if you looked at governments as companies, you looked at their balance sheets, you wouldn't lend them a dime.
Not a nickel.
And yet people are lending them money at rates. You know, France, for example, which, you know, I think is an absolute train wreck waiting to happen, is currently borrowing money cheaper than at any time in the last 400 years. Now, that's clearly not right. It's clearly not the right place for people to lend them money, but we have corrupted all these price signals, and so we have people pile into government bonds, believing them to be safe havens because they always have been safe havens without looking at the balance sheets, and the balance sheets show that these are very, very poor places to invest your money indeed.
Well, Grant, when you talk about the world being in sort of an unprecedented position with regard to zero interest rates and the cost of money being artificially cheap, and hence, you know, changing people's risk parameters and forcing them into, I guess I would say, malinvestment, for lack of a better term, because the price signals in the terms of the cost of borrowing money are distorted. Would you also argue that another thing that's unprecedented is that so much of this is fueled by the U.S. dollar and the tremendous expansion of the dollar, and we've certainly seen currency collapses in history, but we've never seen a currency that's the world's reserve currency collapse or even wobble badly. So, I mean, there's no historical precedent for that. It must be a frightening time for anybody that holds a lot of U.S. dollars.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a strange thing to say, but the only thing that the U.S. is going for at the moment is the fact that most of these other central banks are trying to debase their currencies even faster than the U.S. dollar, and some of them are having measurable success with it. Now, Japan's the perfect example of this. But I keep hearing the U.S. dollar referred to as the cleanest, dirty shirt, and that's exactly what it is at the moment. But look, we have had times when other currencies were the global reserve currency. You know, sterling had its day before the U.S. dollar. You know, this hegemony that the U.S. dollar has isn't cast iron guaranteed to last forever. You know, its day may well come. And right now, it's in the fortunate position that despite printing so many dollars and expanding their balance sheet so much, they're not looking any worse than the yen or the pound sterling or the euro, God help us. And so ultimately forces that pretty ought to be exerting themselves on the dollar aren't doing so. But at some point, it's clearly unsustainable. I don't think anybody really believes that you can conjure up money out of thin air and spend your way back to any kind of prosperity. The money printing is accelerating and the growth is actually receding. So at some point, they're going to have to try and generate some real growth, and printing money and hoping that at some point you print enough to generate that real growth is just not going to do it, I'm afraid.
But let me, quick follow-up. I mean, you're a fund manager, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, but do fund managers really get this? I mean, over the last 10 years, let's say the bull run in gold, they've been forced to look at gold and currencies somewhat, but do fund managers really get monetary policy? Do they really look at that side of the equation, or do they just look at companies and sectors?
You know, Jeff, that's a great question. It really is. And it's something that people really need to get their heads around. And it's not just 10 years. Now, we've had a 30-year bull market in equities. And so, a lot of people who are in business of managing other people's money have only known in their entire careers bull markets. And so, getting your head around the changes that have happened, it can be a difficult thing to do. And I think the problem people are struggling with at the moment is that they are having to open their eyes now to investment decisions that they've never had to countenance before. And to do that takes the ability to kind of put aside all your prejudices, put aside your learned knowledge over an extended period of time, and look at things in a cold, clear way. If you do that, then you find yourself saying that this traditional allocation to stocks and bonds, well, right now neither of them are good investments. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And gold, particularly, gold had been in a bear market for 25 odd years.
Yeah, but for the last dozen or so years, gold has very definitely been in a very strong bull market.
No, absolutely. But the point is with gold, gold is such a small market. It can't absorb the kind of flows that bonds and equities can. And so if you are watching the gold market and you've been able to set aside and do the cold, clear thinking, and you understand the reason for owning gold, then you've had this chance to get in and buy what's been in a very, very strong bull market, but on very, very small volume. The problems with these things always come when the general perception and the understanding hits critical mass and a lot more people try and get in. Equities, bonds, they can withstand those kind of inflows in a reasonably measured way. I mean, we saw the Nasdaq run up in the late 90s, so obviously that was kind of a stampede. But if you think the size of the Nasdaq market in the 90s and you compare it to how tiny the gold market is now, the possible stampede you're going to see when realization hits that a lot of these countries are absolutely flat broke, and a lot of the paper money they're printing isn't worth the paper, I mean, literally isn't worth the paper it's printed on. People are going to suddenly have to be forced into thinking about gold as a potential investment, and I think you could see some spectacular moves at that point.
Going to have to take a little break here, gentlemen. We've got the stations have to give their announcements. We're going to be right back shortly, but I kind of want to close this by saying Grant's going to be right back with us. He brings up some very, very interesting points about where people should really think seriously about putting their money. Following the herd, jumping into the market, as Jeff and I discussed this past week, just because maybe it feels good, is definitely, definitely something that you should stop and think about. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschommel from Midas Resources. As you know, the federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at stoveinacan.com. That's stoveinacan.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report with Al Corlin and Jeff Deist, chatting with Grant Williams right now from Singapore. Grant has got some very, very, very serious food for thought regarding the bond market and the stock market right now. Grant, what I'd like you to do for me, if you would, is most of my colleagues have been screaming about the danger of the bond market. Everybody's calling for a collapse. Not everybody, certainly, but my colleagues, or a lot of my colleagues, are calling for a major collapse in the bond market. What do you think about that?
Well, the screaming collapse is always a dangerous thing to do, particularly in a market where governments have, by definition, absolute control over them to an extent.
Right.
So I think the collapse theory, we could see it. I'm not saying there's no possibility. We could see it, but I think these guys can probably keep this game going a little bit longer than a lot of people think. So going all in on a collapse in the bond market is a dangerous thing to do. I certainly think we're at some kind of inflection point where you might start to see some opportunities to make money on the short side of the bond market. But the problem is it's become so circular that if the bond market starts to sell off, all it's going to take is one of the, a Barroso, a European leader, a Draghi, a Bernanke to come out and make some kind of comment about how they're worried about this or worried about that. And people, as a knee-jerk Pavlovian reaction, will just jump straight back into the government bond market. What's going to be interesting to watch, and something I'm paying very, very close attention to, is this core group of AAA-rated governments, of which now there's only 12 left, and of those, four of them are on negative watch. They can't all stay AAA, because with each new crisis and each new panic into government bonds, you're starting to see the weaker AAA credits just get left a little bit behind. As I said in the previous segment, I'm watching France very, very carefully, and it's interesting, as we've seen yields back up this year. France has gone further than Germany. The spread between the two has widened. And when we saw a little bit of a mini panic in Europe this week, Bunds rallied far, far harder than France. So France is definitely on the edge of that group that's perceived as safe now. And I think at the margin, they're the sort of things you've got to look for, these tiny signs that certain safe havens or perceived safe havens are starting to lose some of their luster. And that's just going to make the place to send money for supposedly good and safe collateral much, much smaller.
Well, Grant, I know you spend a lot of time studying Asian markets and Asian sectors and presumably Asian central banks and governments as well. I mean, they have to understand this. They have to understand the fundamentals of the dollar and the euro, but yet they find themselves holding, at least the Asian central banks, China and Japan, holding a lot of U.S. dollars. What do you think the end game is for them? Do they just try to sell dollars and buy gold slowly and hope that it's not a game of musical chairs? I mean, it seems to me that we're in a catch-22 because we can't raise interest rates to attract people to our bond debt because of our budget, our federal budget. They're in a catch-22 because they're holding something that could become worthless if there's a run on it.
No, absolutely. It's very true, Jeff. The thing the Asian central banks have in their favor, they went through their own crisis in 98, which helped right a lot of the wrongs on their balance sheets. It cleared down a lot of the debt. Now China's a whole different discussion. There's no point in getting into that right now. It's just too long. But what these guys do have is a Federal Reserve that is essentially putting a rock-solid bid beneath the bond market. So what the Asian central bank can do is just let their debt roll off and just not add to it as quickly as they have been doing in the past. And we've seen that that's what's happening with the Treasury flows. The Chinese are certainly slowing down. The Japanese will probably, as they try and weaken the yen, look to buy more Treasuries. But, with regards to gold, I don't think the central banks are trying to buy that slowly. I think they're trying to buy as quickly as they possibly can, not just the physical, but licenses and mines and all kinds of things that they can convert this paper money into physical assets. The Asian central banks, they absolutely get that, particularly the Chinese. I think we haven't heard what Chinese gold reserves are since 2009. And at the time, they were, there were 1,054 tons, which is less than 2% of their reserves. They've been buying gold hand over fist for the last 3 or 4 years, and not just physical gold, as I say, but mines and properties all around the world. That number, whatever it is now, I believe it would absolutely stagger people. But it's still nowhere near the kind of level they really need it to be. So, gold, physical gold, forget the futures market, the spot price that we all get quoted is just a paper COMEX contract. Physical bullion, the U.S. Mint sold out of silver eagles this year already with unprecedented demand. People are buying physical bullion and physical coins as fast as they can, and that particularly includes East and Central banks.
Well, that really says something, but, you know, by the same token, what I think is interesting, that something that Jeff and I talked about earlier in this week, okay, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is a pretty damn good indicator of what people think about the conventional stock market, touched on 14,000 again, okay, it hadn't been there since 2007. The S&P / TSX index, you know, which is a pretty good indication of the mining sector in Canada, has recovered every nickel that it's lost since 2008. In the 4 weeks that ended last Wednesday, $20.7 billion went into mutual funds, and that's the highest four-week total since 2000. Why are people doing that when everything that you're saying and everything that Jeff and I talk about makes all the sense in the world? Why are they doing it?
Everything, as we've discussed in the past, you and I, at length many times, mm-hmm. This whole thing has become so circular now. The problem has been that the perception of this has been that it's a crisis in confidence, and central banks have been doing everything they can to instill confidence in markets because they believe that if markets are confident, then they will take their money and they'll invest it, and that investment will generate growth. Now, because people haven't had that confidence, they were terrified after 2008. You've got all this money parked in government bonds, very, very low yielding government bonds. Now, that's actually been very, very useful for the central banks because as they've tried to print this money, there have been all kinds of buyers of their debt. Now, if they do start to generate this confidence, if I keep saying to people, if confidence were a switch that you could flick at midnight tonight, and we flick that switch and tomorrow morning everybody was confident, the first thing they're going to do is sell every government bond they own, because why would you lend money to bankrupt governments for a few basis points? And if you're going to sell those assets and you're going to get rid of them as quick as you can, you're going to look for something that pays you more. And right now the stock market pays you a couple of percent, 2.5%. Historically, it's not great, but it's a hell of a lot better than a handful of basis points. If they do that, they create themselves a nasty little problem. So they really back themselves into a corner, and yes, we are seeing flows into mutual funds, and I think that's a sign that confidence is returning. Personally, I think it's very misplaced confidence, but it's the confidence that these guys have been desperately trying to generate for 4 years now. They need to be very, very careful, because this confidence could prove to be their undoing, bizarrely enough.
Jeff, we got about a minute. You got the final word, my friend.
Grant, you know, just quickly, living and doing business in Singapore, is there anything that America and Europe could learn from Singapore about being friendly to capital and attracting capital as opposed to chasing it away?
Oh, look, just come to Singapore and see for yourselves. I mean, Singapore is a country run like a business. It does the right things. It is very, very friendly towards capital. And you know, I can't speak highly enough about Singapore.
Okay, there you have it. Been an interesting discussion with Mr. Williams. Jeff, appreciate all of your input and help. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Fall in love with food storage savings this February at BePrepared.com. Going on now, BePrepared.com saves you over $300 with a premium 1,600 one-year supply, including 126 cans of freeze-dried and dehydrated food. Or get the new gourmet 14-day food supply with a full 2,000 calories per day with pre-planned menu. Stroganoff and noodles are 20% off with purchase of six or more. Mountain House pork chops are back in stock at 34% off. Pack your own low-moisture foods with our new Do-It-Yourself Super Pail Combo on sale at 22% off. Add to your preparedness with minor surgery kits at 15% off. And wool blended blankets are only $11.89. The February Fall in Love with Savings Sale ends February 28th at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, visit BePrepared.com or call 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back, Kay. You know, you guys got to admit out there, Grant Williams is really, really one interesting dude. We're going to be getting together with him down in the desert. All of us here from this little organization, myself and Corey Fleck and Jeff Deist and of course, the president of my company, Kathy Cortland. But we're going to be getting together with Grant in a couple of weeks, and I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, we posted something on our site yesterday, courtesy of Jeff, that I thought was really, really interesting. It was actually courtesy of Lou Rockwell, and it was entitled "The Austrians Were Right," basically taken from a book written by a fellow by the name of Professor Harry S. Versiver. He has written a book that Lou feels is very, very important for all Americans to read because it really gives a good picture of what's going on in our country. Jeff's former boss, Ron Paul, calls the book, quote, an excellent introduction of the Austrian School of Economics and an excellent account of the economic history of the 20th century. Tom Woods, who Jeff will be chatting with in the final two segments of the show, says about this book, I'm blown away by how much ground Harry Verser covers in this important book and how skillfully he covers it. Well, we put an excerpt from that book up on the site. I am planning on getting that book downloaded on my Kindle here when we're done recording. I know probably more about Austrian economics than the average Joe on the street, but you know what? You can never, ever, ever know enough about this very important topic. Jeff, in terms of business cycles, you know, how do you feel that Austrian economics fits into that?
Well, Austrian business cycle theory, I think, is the definitive theory for identifying the booms and busts of the 20th and now the 21st century. You know, I'm not an economist. I have learned Austrian economics sort of secondhand off of matchbook cover, so to speak, just by reading. You know, reading Rothbard, reading Mises, reading Hayek. Professor Verser, who's written this new book, now this is a broader book. He's not a really well-known economist, even in Austrian circles. He teaches at a smaller school in the Detroit area. But this book is sort of a broader comprehensive view of the economic history of the 20th century from an Austrian perspective. But within the 20th century, of course, was the crash of 07-08, and he covers that in his book. But Tom Woods, who's also a PhD and an economist, who I'll be speaking with later, he wrote a book, and I believe he wrote it in 08 or 09 called Meltdown. And that was much more of a layman's term book to describe what happened from an Austrian perspective with the big stock market crash. So it's really, you know, you don't have to be an economist to read Meltdown. It was a New York Times bestseller, very accessible book, easy read, but it really explains it. And Tom is a master at explaining Austrian business cycle theory or other Austrian theories in plain, simple English terms. But look, the bottom line here is that what happened in 08 was just sort of a bubble bursting that the Fed had originally inflated in 01 after the tech market stock bubble crashed. And housing was starting to tank and the economy was starting to tank and wages and employment were starting to tank. So Greenspan sort of helped, then President Bush to rekindle things by creating a bunch of new dollars, both real and electronic, and putting them out there into the economy. And it sloshed around, and it created the gigantic real estate bubble that we saw that ultimately came to a terrible crash and brought down Lehman Brothers and some other firms that were heavily had a lot of derivative and mortgage-backed stuff on their balance sheets. So that was sort of explained quite easily by Austrian business cycle theory, and what we've done since then, unfortunately, under Mr. Bernanke, is to once again reinflate the bubble instead of allowing all this bad debt to settle, and we've created a much bigger problem than we had even in 08. So it's very frightening to apply Austrianism through sort of a prism of clarity and think about what's going on today. But these two books that we've mentioned here are an excellent, easy way for anybody who's interested in this stuff to figure it out for themselves and hopefully protect themselves against what might be coming.
You know, I got to tell you guys, I was introduced to this type of thinking. I was basically a very narrow-minded fundamentalist up until about 1999 or thereabouts. You know, did okay, but I still, you know, I was somewhat narrow-minded in my thinking. But, you know, I had a chance to interview Bill Bonner, who you know, Jeff, and then did subsequent interviews with his partner, Addison Wiggin. They kind of started this thing in my mind when they wrote Financial Day of Reckoning, which was also a bestseller back. I think it came out in 2000, 2001 or thereabouts. But what I find to be really interesting is when you get bright people, okay, like Bonner and Wiggin and Woods and the rest of these guys, and it seems so obvious that if you just look at what they have to say and you honestly admit that Keynesian economics has simply not worked in the United States. I would maintain that Keynesian economics is going to be the downfall of the United States. And it's amazing to me that a larger percentage of the population, including our esteemed leaders, and I use that word somewhat satirically, they just don't get it. I mean, Corey, why don't they get it in your opinion?
Well, Al, like you said, they've been following this Keynesian economics theory for a long time now. And just looking back the last 13 years, since we reached the 2000s, we are arguably in at least their third bubble. This one is bigger than any of the last ones. The first one blamed on technology, still the cause of too much money being in the system. Mm-hmm. The second bubble, the housing bubble, blamed on housing prices, but mostly the banks. And then this third bubble, there's no one to blame for this other than the Fed and the leaders in power, because they have simply continued to flood the market with, as we were talking before this interview, making interest rates extraordinarily cheap that people have no reason to save. They have every reason to spend, and that's not what our economy needs, is really unfounded spending into really investments that aren't safe, aren't good, and even now, it's hard to pick safe investment. Bonds were supposed to be the most liquid assets out there that if you had extra money, you should put it into the government. But now, no one wants to do that because the interest that they're paying in real terms is negative. It just, to me, seems that the government doesn't want to admit that they're wrong because they've been going down this path for so long and now have created such a massive bubble that to burst it, it is admitting defeat, and I don't think they're ready to do that yet.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff and I chatted about this earlier in a daily editorial that I hope, you know, I would think that most of you have listened to, but it had to do with the way that things are counted by the U.S. government in the United States, you know, and it's really tough if you spring this over to an investment, a bit of an investment idea. It's really hard to make sound decisions right now based on some of the input that our government is giving us because it is so jaded and going in such a, you know, obviously going in the direction of nothing more than getting the masses, to be perfectly blunt, to continue to attend the circuses and eat cake. I mean, the numbers are just not accurate. Jeff, you know, you spent a lot of years in Washington, D.C. You know, you were a maverick. Your boss was a maverick. Why don't these other idiots get it?
I'm not sure that they're idiots, but they're willfully ignorant of monetary policy. Nobody wants to look at that. In other words, people want to look at companies and stocks and bonds and sectors, but they don't want to look at the money that underlies it all. And as Ron Paul always pointed out, we don't have a free market economy in this country. Don't blame capitalism. All of this can be laid at the head of the Fed. I mean, the Fed is basically a group of central planners. It could be straight out of the Soviet Union. In other words, right-wingers in America and in Canada would rightfully object if we had sort of a Politburo that sat around and said, well, what should the price of wheat be this year? And what should the price of an auto worker's wage be this year? And how many Ford Tauruses should Ford make this year? We would say that that's central planning, and that goes against the market, and that's inefficient and bureaucratic and harmful. But yet we do the exact same thing with the price of money and with the supply of money.
Jeff, going to stop you for just 2 seconds here, actually about 30 seconds. We have to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back with you.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. Why Ali C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali C today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Okay, we're back. Talking about free markets.
And in a true free market, we would at least have the dollar backed by gold, as we had for many years, many decades in this country. But at best, actually, we would have market-based currency. In other words, competing currencies created by the market. And undoubtedly, those would probably involve gold and silver, which have been time-honored forms of money. But it's not necessarily so that it would be only gold and silver. So we don't have market money. So, for instance, Ron Paul used to like to point out that money is half of every transaction, right? When we talk about the economy, we mean billions of people getting up every morning and doing all the things that they do in economic terms. But when you go to buy a Honda Accord, let's say, you know, you might go on a few websites and research about it. You might go to a dealership and drive it. You might sort of poke around and see if you like the interior, and you would do all this and try to make an informed decision and say, hey, you know, I think that the quality of a Honda Accord is worth my money. But the flip side of that is that Honda has to look at you and say, well, what's the quality of what you're giving me, which is these U.S. dollars? And as a result, they might have to say, well, there's been so many U.S. dollars created, and the U.S. government has, you know, no plans on putting its fiscal house in order and stopping its deficit spending and creating more debt. So as a result, whereas a year ago we might have taken $25,000 of your dollars for this Honda Accord, this year we're going to ask you for $30,000 for this Honda Accord. So it's hard to change people's mindset, but, you know, you have to look at the other side of the equation. And as an investor, if you're not considering monetary policy and currencies in everything you do, you're really only looking at half the picture. You know, God, if I understood Forex and if I had that kind of guts, I'd be out there dabbling in what is a very, very volatile, you know, playing with fire, as they say. Mm-hmm. But boy, I'll tell you what, if I was 18 again, I might go back and study Forex.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the majority of our country, okay, number one, doesn't even know what Forex means. I'm not particularly conversant with it either. But, you know, you look at the market indicators, for example. Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed just a skosh under 14,000, 13,992.97, and the Dow was up yesterday about 49 points. 48.
Oh, really? Wait a minute. We're all rich.
We're all rich.
I guess we can wrap this up.
You know what, and people should quit listening to the show because we're all filthy rich. It just, I mean, how can people be so silly? I'm not going to use the word stupid because I don't want to offend anybody, but how can people be so silly to not understand, for example, the concept of nominal terms versus real terms. You know, people crow about the fact that, well, the Dow is now up to where it was in 2007 or thereabouts, you know, 14,000 or thereabouts. Is it really? I would maintain it isn't. You guys got any comments?
Well, no, Al, this actually touches back on, it reminds me of when I was back in school, in university, learning about just economics to begin with, that everybody, all the teachers said it was ingrained in our heads that the market and the interest rate is controlled by the Fed. It should be controlled by the government because they're what control kind of how the economy moves forward. But that isn't a free market. That isn't truly set on what public or what the normal consumer out there feels that value is. To me, it's not necessarily that the people are stupid out there, just that they're following along with these leaders that are supposed to be leading us to a better place and a more stable government. But quite frankly, I think it's the leaders that don't necessarily understand what's going on.
You know, Jeff, I got to tell you, bud, I find it really interesting that you got a guy who is significantly younger than we are, okay, and he's of the same mindset that we are. Isn't it a shame that members of his generation, that the majority of members in his generation don't feel that way? Because you know what? You don't have change unless you have a desire for change. And I don't think there is a major desire for change either in either of our countries, the United States or Canada. And that's sad, don't you think, Jeff?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Al's a boomer, and boomers studied Marx. I'm a Gen Xer, and Gen Xers studied sort of right-wing, supply-side, Friedmanite Chicago School economics, and now the challenge is to get the millennials, which Corey is, to study Rothbard and Mises. So that's what Ron Paul's trying to do, and you know, obviously, the younger people are going to determine where we all go down the road.
I got a lot of friends who live in the area that we live in who are in my generation who would really take offense. Actually, Jeff, probably they wouldn't even be willing to go out and play golf with you.
I didn't say they liked Marx. I said they
That's a really, really good point. And our president, unfortunately, spent a fair amount of time studying people like that also, which is kind of a shame. Let's switch the subject just a little bit, you guys. Let's talk a little bit about the resource market. I mean, it may sound like it's a big deviation, but I don't think it is. I think that resource market is intricately tied to what we're talking about vis-a-vis Austrian economic politics, etc. Corey, let's start with you, bud. You know, you're in Vancouver. You're in the heart of the resource industry. What are you looking for in 2013?
Well, I'm really looking for what I believe John Kaiser's been calling for from 4 months ago, is that in this first couple quarters, a lot of companies having to consolidate by the way of either shutting operations down and selling their projects or simply JVing or partnering with another company who actually has cash. Because even a couple weeks ago when I walked around the Vancouver Cambridge House show and the Roundup conference a week after, there are a lot of companies out there with potential targets and even companies that could bring their project into production right now, but they're just sitting on their cash. They're waiting because I truly believe they're playing a waiting game to find some of these projects that are undervalued just because of the market and companies that don't have any cash in the bank. So I really don't see a huge comeback, at least in the junior stocks, just because the interest in the market isn't there yet. I'm personally waiting a couple months for hopefully a spring rally before, as we all know, the summer pullback and the summer vacation time. But right now, it's more of a wait and see. I have a few stocks on my list that have properties and will be bringing them into production soon, but they're still not getting valued for this just because there is so many skeptical people out there right now.
Yeah. Jeff, you know, you're admittedly at this point not a real expert in terms of the resource sector, but you know, you worked for a guy for an awful lot of years as his press secretary and then as his chief of staff who really felt that the real pillar of the world's economies ought to be gold. We all agree on that, but I mean, you think much is going to happen to the price of gold in 2013?
Well, you know, there's been this fluctuation between what seems to be a stable bottom around the 1500 and a peak that it doesn't want to break through at least too much at 1800. You know, obviously the TSX had sort of a rough year last year. It sounds like, you know, from what Corey's saying and from what I'm reading, that it may have a bit of a moribund 2013 as well. You know, there's just this discrepancy between the, you know, rises in physical gold and working capital flowing into actual gold mining stock companies. I mean, it's just a tough thing. You've got this incredibly labor-intensive business where you're literally trying to pull wealth out of the ground. And, you know, it's not something that, that you can have just a, you know, a next quarter type mindset. A lot of times, as you know, these properties are 10 years of exploration and then 10 years of development. So it's, you know, it's a tough business, and I get that. But I guess the flip side is that that's why there's so much more upside as an investor. You can buy some of these equities cheap and you can hold on to them and get in, and just sort of suffer through some volatile times. And if you choose right, and you know, some of our listeners have heard Jay Taylor on here. He chooses a lot of these stocks as well. If you choose right, the potential upside is very, very big. Whereas if you want to go buy Google, you know, for 400 odd bucks, go ahead. But, you know, it's awfully hard to see a lot of upside in a stock like that.
You know, I got to tell you, I want to close this thing out by giving my opinion, because I differ a little bit from Corey from what you were saying, although maybe not as much as you might think. I think that 2013 is going to be a good year, and the reason I'm saying that is, number one, you are going to have a washout, as John has suggested, number one. Number two, I think the focus is going to continue to shift strongly towards gold and silver. And the reason I say that is because eventually everybody is going to simply have to come to the conclusion that, you know what, the emperor really isn't wearing any clothes. And when that happens, I think that the hard asset sector is going to do really well. And I'm suggesting that could very well happen in 2013. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be back with the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Cortland Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.